This is my first attempt at a PowerPoint I've ever done. I learned it by the dummies book, so not by classes, so bear with me if I don't get this right, okay? It's good to try new things in the company of friends, amen? Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about the motherhood of God. And the scripture that I'm using is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 12 to 13. The scripture that I have on the PowerPoint is from the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breast, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Now, I know that there are some things that Americans hold sacred, such as apple pie. Anybody love apple pie? What about sports? Of course, there's no one here that likes sports, right? Okay. And motherhood. Motherhood is considered a sacred thing. Now, there's no special days to honor apple pie. There are some special days to honor football. Super Bowl, World League. They're the only ones I know. Soccer thing, whatever. I mean, honestly, the only one I really know is Super Bowl because John's a football fan. But I know there's others. But we do really good with regards to mother. Now, you know, when you think about it, what made it the world or whatever consider Mother's Day? There's some people that have conjectured it might have been a conspiracy. What about the profit that some businesses get, like florist? Anybody send your mom flowers or grandmom or someone flowers today? Greeting cards. I'm a greeting card person, so lots of greeting cards. Telephone companies, not so much today as it used to be. It used to be no matter what call you made, it charged. And restaurants. You know, mom shouldn't cook, guys. You know, you should be cooking or taking her out, okay? Now, I'm not against motherhood. I think it's an awesome thing. I'm a mom myself. I love being a mother. I love being a grandmother. It's an awesome, awesome responsibility and a blessing. It really is. But let's face it. Pastor has already kind of touched on this. Not all mothers are virtuous. Not all mothers are godly. Not all mothers represent what God wants mothers to be or who God is. And it's because of sin. It's because of sin, because we have not lived up to our high calling. Okay, here goes my second one. Whoops, wrong way. I have it backwards. Okay. Okay. Let's look at some of the things that unfortunately represent not very good motherhood. Abortion. Some women decide to abort their children rather than keep them. Now, I'm not coming against any woman here or any woman that has had an abortion. That's a hard decision. There are circumstances in your life that have happened. I want you to know the forgiveness of Christ is there. Okay? No condemnation. No condemnation. What about endangerment? There are mothers that choose to smoke and to drink and to do all kinds of drugs during their pregnancy. If they're doing that, they're endangering that child. That is not being a virtuous mother. What about social pressure? There's a lot of that today. I watched an expose on a reputable news. Some of these things on TV aren't so reputable. Be careful what you watch. But on a reputable news thing, and they did it a segment on young girls, on young teenage girls, and it broke my heart that the reason that they got pregnant was they made a pact, and all their friends to have babies so they could take their baby carriages up and down the street. This is truth. This is truth. That's social pressure. That is not a reason to have a baby. You know, because it doesn't say this cute little tiny little baby. It grows up. And you need to be a mother to it. You know, it becomes me or you or a pastor or Mary Lee. It doesn't stay this tiny little wonderful, awesome baby. Okay? What about abuse? Unfortunately, abuse is a terrible, terrible thing that maybe some people here have experienced. I know personally some people that have experienced abuse. An abusive mother is not godly. Now, let me say with that, I'm going to stand before you and let you know that at one point I was an abusive mother. But you know what? Through the grace of God, through His power, through His forgiveness, through his strength. I have not only found forgiveness in him, but I found forgiveness through my children. And the awesome part was, is God showed me why I was an abusive mother. It was because something that had been done to me, I was abused. God showed me the root of that thing. God healed the root of that thing. I want to say to you today, if you struggle with anything like that, God is your healer. God is your answer. You don't have to stay. Your history does not have to be your future. Amen? Abandonment. There are some mothers that have abandoned their children. Now, there are some mothers that have abandoned them because they didn't feel that they could take care of them, and they placed them in really good homes. But there are other mothers that have abandoned their children and just left them to survive on their own. And that's a horrible thing. They're finding today in psychological areas detachment disorder from children that have been abandoned. And these children don't know how to love. They don't know how to attach or to trust anyone. It's a terrible thing to happen. And what about selfishness? I think we all have a little bit of selfishness in us if we're really honest with each other. You know, what about putting, well, I need this, and, you know, I need a new coat. My child's coat needs a size 10, but they're in a size 7. But that's okay. I found this beautiful new coat, so I'm going to go buy my own. Selfishness. What about ignoring them? What about ignoring them? They're just there. Do what you want. No teaching, no discipline, no instruction, no guidance, no correction, nothing. Just ignoring them. That's a form of not being a virtuous mother either. Now, I want to get all the negative stuff, okay? Because I know that I really believe in my heart that the vast majority of mothers love their children deeply. And they strive to do the best they can in a pressure-filled society such as ours. I truly believe that. And celebrating Mother's Day gives us an opportunity to look at the mother-like qualities of God. Normally, we think of God as our Father. And the reason for that is because, in most part, God has chosen to reveal himself in his word as Father God. But there's also nothing wrong with thinking of God as possessing mother-like qualities. After all, haven't we learned in the last few months, Pastor has preached on this time and again, God is I am. I am. That encompasses everything. Yahweh. I am. If God is Father, he is also Mother. He is Spirit. He can be anything that you need him to be. The Bible uses many metaphors in names and titles to reveal his many-sided nature. Now, this is just some examples. There's many, many. I'd keep you here all day if I used all there was. I just have a couple up here. First of all, he is our King. We are his subjects. He is our Shepherd. Therefore, we are his sheep. He is our Counselor, therefore we're his clients. There's no greater counselor, no greater psychologist or psychiatrist than God himself, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. He is our Redeemer. And if he has redeemed us, we are his possession. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. I find comfort in that. He is our Priest, and we are his people. He is our Father, and we are his children. Amen. Now, as God, as our Father, God provides for our needs. He trains us, he corrects us, and he educates us in love and services of members of his family. On Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, we find something deeper. We find God, a mother that is ministering angel in times of pain, in times of sorrow. The scripture says, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts his child. God is comparing himself to a mother. Scripture says so. God combines in himself all the virtues of a perfect character. God is not only a strong and protective like a father is, but God is also tender and comforting. We need every aspect of those things in our lives. Okay? Let's look at some mother-like characteristics of God. Let's look, first of all, of comfort. God comforts us like a mother. We just read that in Isaiah. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. I'm a definition person. I'm a dictionary, thesaurus kind of person. So I thought, comfort, well, what does it mean? It's a feeling, I know, because I'm a feeling person too, but what does it mean? Well, I looked it up in Webster's. It means to give strength and hope, to cheer, to ease the grief or comfort of, to console. I want you to think about this for a moment. What is a home without a loving mother? It's empty. It's scary. It's sometimes you don't want to go there because you just don't want to be there because there's no loving presence of a mother. A mother's presence means comfort. It means love. It means they're going to probably wait on you, probably more than they should. But you know what? It's even worse to have a home without God. And God's not so far away from any of us that he cannot soothe us, that he cannot sympathize us. He lifts his troubled child up in his arms and he holds them close. When you don't have a mother to go home to, the presence of a mother in a home, God can become that for you. If you need that comfort, if you need that consolation, God can be that for you. Now, I know that there's some folks here that have recently lost their mom. I recently lost my mom a little over a year ago. Nothing brings a comfort like a mother. And I miss her. And I'm sure those of you that have lost your mom miss your moms too. But I want you to know that because of Christ, if he is with us, if we belong to him, he can bring us that comfort that that mother used to be able to give us. God can replace that for us. If we haven't learned how to allow God to be comforting to us, we can allow him to do that for us, be the mothering arms that we need God to be at this moment. The word says in Psalm 94:19, when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. You know, the psalmist is saying, I was full of doubt. I didn't know what to do. You know, how many times have we felt that way? But when we feel God's comfort come back and surround us, all of a sudden, like, oh, gee, the confusion has gone away and the hope has come back and I'm renewed and I'm cheerful and I can do this. I'm not doubtful anymore. I'm not upset anymore. I'm not confused anymore because God has brought this comfort to me and it takes away all the confusion. Psalm 23, which is a very popular psalm to just about everybody. This is the New Living Translation, verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. In the deepest, darkest places of our lives, God is our comfort. In the darkest place, God is our comfort. He is one that's there if we can't see anything, if we don't know anything. God can be the mothering comfort that we need at that moment. God comforts us by his word. A child's very first teacher is their mother. She gives them the earliest lessons of life, of God and duty. Who usually is it that teaches a child to say mama or dada or baba? It's usually the mother, right? So the mother is teaching the child words. When the child is discouraged, the mother will bring words of hope, of comfort. They'll try to inspire them. You can do this no matter what. They'll give them words. There's been times that there's been things in my life and all of a sudden some words of what my mother has spoken to me have come back to me. And they've helped me in that moment. When a child is disobedient, a mother's words of correction are there. And I've told my children this and I've told other moms to say this. You know what? When I used to discipline my children, I would say to them when the discipline was over and it was time to just go love them and hug them, always do that. When this discipline is done, make sure you put on the love. I went back to them, and I learned this from a wonderful friend. Go back to them and say, I did this because I love you. This is why the discipline came down, because I love you. When fear fills our hearts, it's a mother that holds us close and reassures us with words of comfort. You don't have to be afraid. It's okay. God is here. He's going to help us. We don't need to be afraid. And to renew your courage. If you're afraid, oh, I am going to do this test, and if I do better, I'm not going to pass. Mom says, well, it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be okay. We don't have to be afraid. Come on, let's study together. You know, mom brings words of encouragement, takes the fear away. God is like that. God is exactly like that. He gives us his word so that we can read what he has to say. When we don't know, sometimes, you know, I think it was Pastor last week said to me, when we don't know, we don't have that feeling, we can always go to God's word. When we can't feel what we need to feel at that moment, we can always go to the word of God because that is truth, that is yea and amen, and that is God himself speaking to you. So when you need to have a word from God, whether it's encouragement, maybe even correction, God uses his word to correct us if we allow it to correct us. And don't be like a lady I heard about that cut out the things she didn't want to read. Let's not do that. But let's read God's word. Let's do what Psalm 119, 105 says. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Let's use the word of God to guide us where we're supposed to go. Because if we do that, he keeps us off the bad, narrow way, the places that, where the traps are set for us, the places where we shouldn't be, where the harm is going to come our way. And a light for my path. There's been many times when I have no idea I'm at this crossroad. Which way should I go? But if I allow God to say, show me, light my path, let me know which direction that I should go, north, south, east, or west. Sometimes I don't know. Which way should it be? I have an illustration. There was it's called a prison, well, with three books. There was an editor of a well-known London newspaper, and he had sent an inquiry to 100 professors. They were authors, and they were merchants, and they were other professional people. And this was the question that he sent to them. Suppose that you were sent to a prison for 3 years, and you could only take three books with you. What three would you choose? Please state them in the order that they're important to you. Now, out of the 100 they sent out, 98 people replied, which for a survey, that's a pretty good percentage, okay? What do you think was the very one on 98 out of them, of the 100, 98 put as their very first choice? It was the Bible. That's right. And a lot of these men were atheists or agnostics. They weren't even Christians. They didn't even believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, yet they knew that no other book could give them comfort and hope to help them in the dark days of prison but the Bible. Amen? Okay, God comforts us by his touch. If a child is in trouble, a mother receives that child a lot of times without asking questions, only because instinct is letting them know something's wrong. Any mom here just kind of look at your child and know just something's wrong, something's just not right. Your intuition tells you that. Sometimes you speak, sometimes you don't. But you know what your child needs more than anything? It's your touch. And that's usually a mother's first reaction when a child needs comforting, is a mother to touch them. It might be when you're a smaller child, you have a boo-boo and you need mommy to kiss it. I've done that with my grandchildren. You know, honestly, sometimes I can't even see the boo-boo, but if I kiss it, it's all better. When you're older, sometimes you just need a listening ear. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. You just need someone to listen to what you have to say and hear what's going on in your life. And you know what? I miss my mom's hugs. And I tell my son David and I tell my grandchildren, you're never going to be too old to give me a hug. We all love the hug of a mother, especially when life is really hard. Nothing like the hug of a mother makes it feel better. There's a story I want to tell you. There was a wounded soldier, and he had returned from Vietnam. He was in critical condition. He was blind, and his mind was clouded. His body was mangled from the fight that he had been in. His mom heard about it, and he was in a hospital over there by Vietnam, and his mother traveled over 2,000 miles to get there, to be by his bedside. And as soon as she entered the hospital room, she laid her hands on his brow. And without saying, she didn't say anything to him. She just laid his hands on his brow. And remember, he was blind. Instantly, he said, Mother, is that you? It must be you. She hadn't spoken, but he knew the touch of that mother's hand. God is the same way. God comforts us by his touch. In Luke 16, everyone tried to touch him. Him is Jesus. Because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Jesus has a healing touch. He's the mothering part of touching, the mothering part of nurturing, of healing in our lives. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk and the dumb to speak. And he raised people from the dead. How much greater touch can that be than to raise someone from the dead? Sometimes we're dead inside. If we have the loving touch of a mother, something happens inside of us. God Almighty can be that touch for you if you need a touch from him today. What about God's comforting protection? Now this one, protection, most of the time when you think about protection, you think about a father being the protector. Which fathers are protectors? Let me tell you something. Do not come between a mother and her child. Do not. As a mother that's speaking, do not. Do not come against my baby. Because you will see a part of me you probably haven't seen very much. You do not mess with a mother and her child. Okay? There is a protective side of a mother that is strong, that is very strong. And you will do anything to protect that child. There's a story of a man that was, unfortunately, his barn, his farm had caught on fire, and his barn had burned down, and he had animals in it. And all of a sudden, he noticed a lump of something in the barnyard, and it was still moving. And he thought, how could anything possibly be moving in this charred, burnt-out mess? And he kicked it, and from underneath it came a little chick, and it was still alive. That mother put herself over that baby chick to protect it and saved its life. That mother chick was willing to give her life for that baby. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. I didn't put a scripture up here, but there's a verse that says in Isaiah, though you walk through the water, you will not drown. Though you go through the fire, you will not be burned. God is your protector. If you don't know how to protect yourself, if you're in a place you don't know what to do, say, sometimes the greatest thing you can say, as we've heard pastors say many times, help! God will protect us. God will do what we need him to do. He will rescue you from the trap and protect you from deadly disease. Do you know Satan lays traps for you? He lays traps for you. God will show you what those traps are. He will protect you from them. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. Just like that mother hen sheltered her children. God shelters us as a mother. God shelters us under the wings of his love, under the wings of his protection. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. You can find protection in every promise that God has for you in his word. God's protection is something that we have to remain under. You can take yourself from underneath it if you decide that you don't need God anymore. That's not a place I would like to be. I think I'd rather be under the sheltering wings of my father, of my mother, of the God that protects me as a father and a mother that loves me, that protects me, that has laid his life down for me. This one was a hard one to do. Patience. Don't pray for patience. Now, a mother, and I put this in my notes, will try to be patient with her children. Let's face it, ladies, doesn't always work. Sometimes we just can't handle it anymore, and the patience just kind of fly away. Okay? But we really try to be patient with our children, especially when we know they're learning and they're small and they're trying to grow. And okay, you know, you're going to get this. You're going to learn. It's going to be okay. But a mother will also pray unceasingly. A godly mother will pray unceasingly for her children, especially if they have wandered from Christ. We never give up. We're patient to see God work in that area. Okay? There's a picture, and it's entitled Answered Prayer. And what it is a mother kneeling by a bed. And it's actually St. Augustine's mother. She prayed for years for him to become a Christian. And she just prayed nonstop, because a godly mother will never cease. No matter what the condition, no matter what the circumstance, a mother will not stop praying. And you know what? God never gives up on us. The Bible says that Jesus stands in the right hand of the Father, constantly pleading for us. He never, ever, just like a godly mother never gives up, God himself never gives up on us. He gives us second, third, 103rd, 1,003rd, 1,000,003rd chances, because he never, ever gives up on us. Now may the God of patience, he's called the God of patience, and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering toward us. God is a lot more long-suffering toward us than we are toward each other. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has immense patience, the patience of a loving, caring mother who prays unceasingly for her child. A God of forgiveness. I need forgiveness from God every day. Every day. You know, you have a wayward son or a wayward daughter, and all of a sudden the phone rings and they say, Mom, I'm done. I want to come home. She's like, Yoo-hoo! Praise God, hallelujah, come on home. Hallelujah. She's ready to forgive you. She didn't even ask you what you'd want. She just wants you home. She just wants you back. Let's love each other. Let's care for each other. Let's bring healing into our lives, in your life. You know, and it doesn't matter how many times they walk away, a mother is willing to draw them back, to bring them back. Like, let's make this right. Let's be a family. She forgives many, many times because she has the faith to believe that. There's a story, and I know I'm giving a lot of stories, but I think these illustrations help. This, when I read this one, I cried. I had a hard time typing it because I was wiping the tears away. There's a story that's told of a mother, a godly mother in London, and her daughter had run off into sin. The mother went to the preacher with a very burdened heart, and you know, she went for advice. She said, "What am I supposed to do?" Well, the pastor told her to go home and get as many photographs of herself as she could find and bring them to him. So she did. She went home, and she returned with as many photographs as she could find of herself. And on the bottom of those pictures, the pastor wrote, "Come home." And he placed them around the city in all the places where the girl might be found, whether they were in, you know, this, you know, the things that places of sin, but wherever the girl might be found, because he knew the girl, okay? You know, maybe in a bar or whatever. He placed the mother's picture there with the word on it, "Come home." One night, the wayward girl entered a bar, and she found the picture of her mother and the message. She looked at it. There was Mom, and the bottom was, "Come home." Now, when she read that message, she knew that her mother meant it and that her mother would forgive her. She made her way back home. She opened up the door, and there stood her mother with outstretched arms. And the mother cried out, "The door has never been locked. I have been looking for you and watching for you and praying for you." Can you see the picture of God's forgiving love as that wayward girl saw the picture of her mother's love? That's who God is to you. God is saying, I have never and I will never lock that door. I have been looking for you, I am watching for you, and I am praying for you. Come home. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103:12. East and west never meet. They never meet. When we ask God's forgiveness, they're gone. They're gone. They never meet again. God's forgiveness is unending, just like a mother's. Sacrificial giving. Now, there's many things that a mom will do without to make sure that her children have what they need. I've seen my mother do that several times. I've seen other mothers that I know of. They do without. Their shoes might be a little worn out or their clothes a little worn out, but their children have what they need. That's part of being a mom, a loving, caring, godly mom. The children come first. Sometimes the husbands too, ladies. Amen? The husbands too. That's the way it should be. And the husbands, I'm sure, feel the same way. So if they're both working together, that's an awesome thing. That's a godly home. God's sacrifice was his only son. He gave all he had. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He gave everything, his son. Jesus gave it all for us. He willingly came when the Father said to him, "I want you to go to earth. You're going to lay down your life for these people. These people that have turned their back on me, these people that have sinned against me, I want you to lay down your life for them." Jesus said, "Okay, Dad, I'm going." He paid it all. He lived in a rich kingdom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he came to be a poor man that was born in a stinky stable. He gave it all for us. And when those who have been born again stand before him, we won't be as sinners, but we're going to be as children who have been forgiven and our sins have blotted out forever because of God's sacrificial giving. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Ephesians 5:2. God's sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, was a pleasing aroma to God. Conclusion. Everybody's going saying, yay. Okay. Conclusion. He's your God of comfort. Mothering qualities of God. Strengthen and consolation. And I put he there, but I just can't get away from putting he for God. But I'm trying to show you the mothering qualities of God. Comfort. God of comfort. Comforting presence. God will always be near, just like the presence of a mother. Always be near. There's nothing, you know, it's so wonderful to, when you go away, to know that no matter where you are or what you're doing, mom's always going to be there to welcome you home. Like the Folgers commercial. You know the Folgers commercial where the mom and dad are up in bed and the guy's coming home and they make the coffee? I think of the mothering presence in that commercial. I watch TV. What can I say? Okay. Comforting word. God's comforting word will teach us and lead us. If we need guidance, go to the comforting word of God. The healing touch. No matter whatever is hurting you today, whether it be a physical need, a spiritual need, or an emotional need, God has that healing touch that you need from him today. Protection. Are you afraid? In today's world, in today's society, let me tell you, it's easy to be afraid about the economic things that are going on now, the price of gas, $4 a gallon. What are we supposed to do? It's hard not to be afraid. You know, what's going on when the way we see society going today, the way we see all the crime and the things that are escalating and all the things that are happening, the earthquakes and the floods and the tsunamis and all that's going on. If we allow those things to invade our mind, fear overtakes us. But if we allow God to keep ourselves under God's protection, we don't need to be afraid. God's going to protect us from all those things. We don't need to be afraid. He is our protector. What about patience? Don't give up if you're struggling. God's not giving up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Sometimes it's easier to give up on ourselves. God never gives up on you. Don't give up on the struggle. God will help you to get victory in whatever it is you're struggling with. Forgiveness. Sometimes it's easier to believe God's forgiveness than it is to forgive yourself. That's something that I personally experience. When I was a new Christian, I used to have to feel that I had to go to God at least 5-6 times a day to ask him to forgive me, even though I had asked him earlier in the day because I didn't believe that he forgave me because I couldn't forgive myself. You need to believe and trust that God has forgiven you, and then you need to forgive yourself. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Believe that your forgiveness is there and go forward. Don't live in it. Walk away from it and go forward in it. Sacrifice. Have you accepted sacrifice of God? Do you belong to him? Because if you belong to him, you can have the mothering comfort, the presence, the word, the touch, the protection, the patience, the forgiveness, and the sacrifice. They all belong to you. If you've accepted the ultimate sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, we are just amazed at all the things that you are to us. And I know that we haven't even begun to touch on everything that you are. Lord, I pray for these people today that whatever it is they need, that you would become that to them. Lord, I pray that you would permeate their lives. I pray that you would permeate their homes, their families, and Lord, that your presence would give them everything that they need. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.